Good morning, Mountjoy family. It is wonderful to see each and every one of you and your smiling faces. There we go. I often start off our next steps is if we're not smiling, we're probably prone to smile once someone says it's good to see your smiling face, right? It's a natural response to it. So this morning, we're going to continue this series, This Is Us. This is us, and we're going to be looking at the life of Joseph as we move forward today. In week one, Pastor Joel shared with us about sibling rivalry gone bad. When families play favorites, it breeds immaturity and envy and rivalry. In week two, we talked about enlarging your soul. When families harbor secrets, people are divided, devastated, and lead double lives. Week number three, Pastor Joel shared with us just last week, the family secret. Unresolved grief shrinks our faith and shuts us down in our soul, but resolving our grief with God's help enlarges our soul and restores our hope. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about addressing adversity as we look at the life of Joseph. I mean, no, this is us. We all face adversity. We all face challenges. We all face difficulties throughout our life. Addressing adversity tends to entice us to cash in on our character for a cheap substitute that never satisfies. But if we take God's hand, he will lead us to higher ground. This is us. So when we face adversity, many of us default in asking questions. What's happening? Why me? Is this fair? Can you say with me, this is us. This is us. And then after I read a couple of these, I'm going to ask that you respond with me again. This is us. I did everything right. What did I do wrong? This hurts. God, where are you? Why is this happening to me right now? Come on. Are you serious? I mean, seriously. How? Yes, this is us. This is some of the things that you or myself or you look to your neighbor or look across the room this morning, we've all probably said this, and at some point in our lives, we may have even said worse. Prayerfully not, but this is us. We're in this together. We've all faced adversity. There are just a few things some of us have said, questions we have asked ourselves or even aloud. In fact, many have directed them not just at ourselves or someone else. There are times that we even look to God and ask God these questions. Lord, how? Is this what your will is? Why am I feeling this way? And so forth. This is really us. And as I reflected over the last week, I just thought about a few things. The goodness of God. And how good, despite whatever we're going through and the challenges that we're facing, God is good how often? And all the time? That's an often reminder, something that we have to remind ourselves is God is good all the time. And yes, all the time, God is good. And I believe that this is something that Joseph had to remind himself quite often. When we think of Joseph, we have to remind ourselves that, yes, this is us. This is the life that we are living. Our life is our own, but we are God's children, and God has called us to things that are much farther and beyond where we are and who we are or who we believe ourselves to be. We are built to survive and even thrive under difficult conditions. Look at our human body. Our muscles grow when loaded with stress, breaks down their fibers. They are then repaired through a natural cellular process, becoming thicker and stronger than before. You know, if you go into the weight room, you know, most male, some females, that's what we go to the gym for, is if you get to, you know, push those pounds, push up those weights. And we often as gentlemen, we ask each other, well, how much can you bench? How much can you bench? Or how much can you deadlift? And so forth and so on. But we put ourselves willingly under adversity, stress, and strain. And these adversities is our life's very own workout session. Yep, these difficulties that we've endured or encountered, rather it's in health or sickness or family, it's adversity that works us out. And yes, we will feel the aches and the pains, but after that, we will also feel stronger, more resilient, and even more alive. You know, I believe that Joseph, going through these life situations, and if we reflect on ourselves, is in the middle of things, we feel so weak. In the midst of the situation, we feel ourselves strengthless. But God is our strength. He is our help. So when we look at the adversity in life, in Joseph's life, we see a 17-year-old boy torn from his family and sold into slavery by his own brothers. And we may question, which Joseph probably also questioned, why? Because he told them his parents a dream that the Lord gave him. Have you ever been asked when you were a child, what are your dreams? What are your hopes? What do you want to be? Who do you want to be when you grow up? And you answer the question, or I've answered the question innocently as a child, and what aspirations that I had. And you look at the person who've asked you the question, and their response sometimes are surprising. Maybe their response was one that was of joy, and is like, yes, I agree, I affirm that that's what you're going to be. Unfortunately, for some of us in the room, and like Joseph, that wasn't the response that he got. He got a response that was sort of saddening. The response that he got was a rebuke. He was ridiculed for this dream. He was challenged for this dream that the Lord gave him. And that really stood out to me as I read the scripture is, you know, Joseph didn't give himself this dream. The Lord gave Joseph this dream. And Joseph shared this dream with his loved ones and people that were extremely close to him. I mean, who in here doesn't feel like you're connected to your family and really want to share with your family the things that God has laid on your heart? You know, these are the people that are close to us. These are the people that say they love us. These are the people that say that no matter what, we are family and we've always got each other's back. Sadly enough to say that Joseph's brothers really saw him just like his dad did, as a favorite child. And, you know, Pastor Joe shared with us that favoritism comes with some joys when you are the favorite, but they have a lot of downsides when others are not a big fan of you being the favorite. I would say that in my family as growing up, I think a lot of folks may have considered me as the favorite. And I've also often told my siblings is, you say, Mom thinks I'm the favorite, Dad thinks I'm the favorite, Grandma thinks I'm the favorite. And it seems like certain things in life have illuminated the fact that I could be a favorite. But you know what happens? When they get in trouble, guess who they call? Me. When they have a disagreement with each other, guess who they call? For whatever reason, it seems like I'm their lifeline. And you know what I tell them? I'm sure you called me because I'm your favorite. Without you willing to agree with it or admit to it, I have to be the favorite. In adversity, I seem to be the favorite. Do life's ups, I'm the favorite. And my sister texted me yesterday as I prepared for today, and she says, you've always got my support. That's because when she has challenges too, we tend to call each other first. So like Joseph, although they didn't realize the future, what the future hold, he was a favorite for more reasons than one. Do you remember of a time that maybe you were considered the favorite and the challenges that came along with that? Or if you weren't the favorite, do you have a favorite? Do you have a child or a family member that you may consider as being your favorite? This is us, right? Like, this is probably us. So then let's look at Joseph and how he handled his adversity. We're going to cover 3 points this morning. And the first point is an internal GPS. Joseph had an internal GPS. And a journal GPS will look at the verse in Genesis 39 and 7. And the scripture says, "And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. 'Come and sleep with me,' she demanded. But Joseph refused. 'Look,' he told her, 'my master trusts me with everything in his entire household.'" And as we saw in the reading, Joseph was given the right to everything. Joseph had control of everything. The trust that Potiphar had in Joseph was over everything. Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything. The only thing that Potiphar was concerned about is, what's he going to eat? I mean, how many of us can trust somebody enough with all of our belongings, all of our possessions, and know that there's nothing to worry about except for, what are we going to eat? As a husband, I call my wife sometimes. It's like, "Hey, what's for dinner?" You know, another time she'll respond, "Well, what do you want for dinner?" You know, sometimes we want to be relieved of these responsibilities, but I think it's an awesome thing when you can entrust someone with everything, your house, your car, your land, your cattle, everything. Like, think of the things that you want to protect yourself. It's like, I can give them control of this, but no, I can't give them control of that. Potiphar gave control to Joseph, and he trusted the Lord, his God, through Joseph. Even if Potiphar didn't know the Lord, he knew of him through Joseph. And in verse number 39 and 9, he said, "He has held back nothing from me except you. You are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against him." Joseph had an internal GPS. Although Potiphar's wife came after him and lusted for him after being in his presence for such a long time, or over and over. And as the scripture read, Joseph was a handsome fellow. You know, have you ever thought of, like, you know, maybe some of you in your younger day, or as you're young, you know, you're dating someone or you're courting someone, and there's just people you really don't want your significant other around, right? Or maybe you've questioned, is when you're got these self issues going on, you're like, "Well, do I look as good as that person? Or do I, you know, do I get their attention like someone else gets their attention?" It's, you know, Joseph was a handsome dude. You know, you can look at yourself like, "Well, I'm a handsome, or I'm pretty too." But Joseph, when being addressed by Potiphar's wife, had to use his internal GPS. And for those in the room, I know that global positioning system is what traditionally we use for GPS. But as I thought about this message and what I would share, I asked God to give me something that's a little bit more acclimated to scripture. So I got GPS as godly proposed or prescribed solutions. GPS, a godly proposed or prescribed solution. Immediately, this internal relationship with God guided Joseph when he was under stress or being approached by another man's wife to give himself to her and to be willing to, you know, just lose it all, to risk it all, just because of her desire for him. But he knew his place with God, and he knew his responsibility with Potiphar in the kingdom. So Joseph used his internal GPS, and because it wasn't something he really had to think about, I believe that it was a natural instinct. We use our GPSs, and the moment we make a wrong turn, how long does it take your GPS to respond nowadays? It immediately starts rerouting you, right? Without thought, without you having to think about it, and you can even know which direction your GPS is taking you in, and willingly make a wrong turn. And even in you willingly making a wrong turn, your GPS is still kind enough to try to redirect you and reroute you and get you back on the right path. And this is what happened with Joseph. Because he had God and understood the Lord and his relationship, it didn't take much for him to use his godly prescribed solution within him. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. just a reminder of Scripture that there is no temptation that has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. Joseph didn't have this scripture at that time. But I believe if there was an opportunity to write this verse first, Joseph would have been one of the first people to write this. Because we all face adversity. But just as much as we all face adversity, we all have a choice and the freedom to choose and go the right direction if we just rely on our internal GPS. But to have an internal GPS and hear what God is saying and speaking to us, we have to have a relationship with him. And that is one of the things that Joseph had. Through all of the adversity and everything that he's gone through, being sold and being put in a pit and being resold and then being put in Potiphar's house, he had that relationship. And we must remind ourselves that in this time, he didn't have the written word like we have today. He had to go on what he knew. He had to go on what he heard. So I want to take a moment and ask you to reflect. Great temptations often come on the heels of great success. Can you think of a time when you were on top of life and were tempted to cash in your character for a cheap substitute? That leads us into point number two, practicing social distance. You see, Joseph, in verse number 39, continues to be put under pressure and face this adversity of this woman who will not quit. Verse 39 and 10 says, she kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Now, when reading this verse, you know, our flesh gets put under so much temptation on a regular basis. No, it may not. You may not have been faced with sleeping with a person. It could be that you go to the restaurant and there's things that you know medically you should not have. But the flesh says, I want this. I need this. I got to have this. You go to the mall and you promise yourself that you are going to just window shop today. Not going to buy anything, or you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to buy by the list. I'm going in there and I'm going to get this and this only. And suddenly the moment you get to the store, it's like, I only need one thing. But you know, I'm going to grab this small grocery cart. And the small grocery cart ends up with more than one thing when it's all said and done, right? Because of temptation. And here, Joseph is faced with temptation by Potiphar's wife day in and day out. Religiously, she is after this man. And I can imagine that Joseph is saying, boundaries, ma'am, boundaries. I mean, just let's have some boundaries here. It's important to know our limitations and the boundaries needed for us to refrain from falling during adversity, testing, and temptations. It's important that we know when, where, how far, and how long is important for us. See, social distancing is not always about the other people. It's us knowing our own personal boundaries. Just a few short years ago, about 4 years ago, we, as a nation, as a world, we faced this horrible sickness or influx of COVID-19. You all remember that? Who doesn't, right? And all the things that it brought. And as you think about it, social distancing was one of the biggest things. If we just socially distance ourselves, we will not succumb to being infected with COVID-19. We can stay healthy. We can avoid being sick or whatever comes along with it, right? And what was some of the things that we were told to do to be socially distanced? It was stay 6 feet away. Oh, that'll keep you safe, 6 feet away. You know, put some space in between you. That's enough. That'll do it. I'm not sure if it really worked or not. But we abided by it, correct? Or put a mask on. Yeah, you know, all these years where we're taught and we were told, you know, we shouldn't wear two faces. We shouldn't be two faces. We shouldn't have a mask. We should just be who we are. And suddenly some sickness caused us to have to put on the mask. So where we used to be able to recognize someone by their full facial features, now we had to learn to identify people by their eyes. And you're going somewhere and it's like, who are you? So you had to relearn people and you had to really look in their eyes, right? And till this day, because of that, I probably look at people more in their eyes than ever before. Because that's how, for so long, we had to identify each other. You know, even a smile, raising your cheeks. I was told at one point that when I smile, my eyes disappear. So maybe behind my mask, if I just smiled and my eyes would disappear, maybe it was easy to recognize me. But other people, you know, maybe it was a little bit different. But we came to understand each other through this social distancing process. Time or exposure of contracting COVID. I believe at some point it came down to how long we were exposed to an infected person. And it came down to being the time frame was somewhere between 15 to 20 minutes. So what do we have to do? We had to learn to manage our time. We learned to be aware of who we're exposing ourselves to, how long we wanted to be exposed to them, in what environment. Most of us, you know, a lot of people started meeting outside. Because you know what? The air is between us. That's good. If there's a breeze, maybe it's not going to blow my way. It'll go right between us, and COVID will go that way, and we'll keep having the conversation this way, right? But Joseph, in this, had to, on his own, socially distance himself. This is day in and day out that he's being antagonized about someone wanting him to sleep with her. And so he had to know that if I'm going to be around Potiphar's wife, I have to be able to do this, and I have to maybe do it quickly, or I have to do it undercover, or maybe what do I have to do to sort of like hide myself so hopefully she doesn't see me, right? But he couldn't avoid it. Adversity was before him. And so addressing adversity, if any person had the right to give into temptation to be desired, embarrassed and embraced and pursued, it was Joseph. He did not cave. Joseph held on to a dream planted deep within him from his childhood. He kept him alive. His dream kept him alive both inside and out. That's the power of a dream authored by God on the heart of a person. It pulls them through the greatest temptations and the toughest times. I'll read that part again. That's the power of a dream authored by God on the heart of a person. It pulls them through the greatest temptations and the toughest times. See, when our foundation is in the Lord and our trust is in him, God will always see us through. He will always pull us through. But it's important that we remember what it takes for us to be socially distanced from another, from a thing, from a place, from whatever may be pulling us away from God. Another moment of reflection. Have you ever felt chased down by temptation? Did you give in or find an escape hatch? How did you react to that? And so we'll go to the final point of this morning. It's choosing integrity over image. In Genesis 39 and 11 through 12, it reads, "One day, however, no one else was around when he went and to do his work. She came and grabbed him by his cloak or coat, demanding, 'Come on, sleep with me.' Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house." I mean, this woman was persistent. She was adamant that she was going to have this fine young man at all costs. Who cared about her husband? Who cared about what else was going on? Joseph was her thing. Joseph was the man that she was after. And sometimes in life, sometimes we're so focused on the things that we want, we become blindsided to everything else that really matters. But Joseph didn't. Joseph didn't get entrapped. As I reflected on this, my mind, for whatever reason, drifted to the Wizard of Oz, and I thought lions, tigers, and bears. But for Joseph, it was dreams, coats, and adversity. Dreams, coats, and adversity. For whatever reason, it was like it was always related to his dream. This is the second time that Joseph gets his coat torn away from him. These coats are getting him in trouble. Or these coats are putting him in situations that he's got to figure out a way to get out of. His brothers took his coat and then ripped the coat, tore it apart, gave it to his dad, having his dad believe that he's dead. And then now this woman's going to tear off his coat because she wants him badly. But he was willing to give up the garment this time and leave it behind for righteousness' sake is how I'll put it. Joseph was already separated for his family. He was in the palace alone, as the scripture read in the preceding verses. No one was around. Joseph was by himself. At this point, it was just Joseph and Potiphar's wife. He could have made any decision at that point. He could have finally decided to say, you know what? She's not going to quit until I give in. She's not going to stop until she gets what she wants. And I want you to think of how many times has something been nagging at you, knocking at your door with persistence, and you gave in. And it was as if the best option for me is just to give in. It's just to submit to whatever it is, even when you knew or you know that it's against God's will. I think that's one of the toughest things, is when our flesh is wanting and desiring something, no matter how bad, and it contradicts our belief, our faith, and our relationship with God. And we've, at times, have made the wrong decision. I mean, I'll be honest, there's times in my life that I've made poor choices. There's times in my life where I made a wrong decision. And the truth of it all is that in making those decisions, I had to face a hard reality of the consequences. And to stand here before you, to be honest, is some of those consequences were very painful. Those consequences led to times of loneliness, even when there were people around. And in the absence of people, it also led to loneliness. It even stretched and strained relationships, and various actions led to not being in relationship with folks that once was in my life. So when we look at Joseph, Joseph was an extremely strong man, not just in physical character, a physical appearance, but integrity. Joseph had integrity and really valued the relationship that he had with God. He understood his assignment. He understood that this is not about Joseph. This is about the work of the Lord. And so as we are here this morning and we look at the life of Joseph, this is really us. This is us. And I want that to stick with us this morning, because we can look at, oh, that was Joseph. But when we really dig into the life of Joseph, we really realize that this is us. This was Joseph then, but this is us now. But we all have the same charge this morning. It's to keep a firm relationship, because God is our firm foundation. Last reflective moment for this morning. Have you ever been faced with a decision that made you choose between your position or your character? What was happening? What did you do? So as I begin to close this morning and wrap up, let us be reminded of our relational lesson this week is addressing adversity. Yes, adversity entices us to cash in our character for a cheap substitute that never satisfies. It never satisfies. Anything that we use to substitute God in our lives, Christ is who he is and who we know him to be, it is never satisfying. But if we take God's hand, he will lead us to higher ground. Psalm 16 and 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 said, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And that famous verse in Romans 8 and 28, as we address adversity and we face things head on, from this day forward until God, Christ returns or he calls us home. Let us remember Romans 8 and 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for keeping us. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us deal with the lure of adversity well. When trouble comes, help us dial into our internal GPS. Help us to dial into that internal, godly, prescribed solution that we find in your word and through submitting to your Holy Spirit. Lord, when hard times knock at our door, help us to lock the hatch and to run in the other direction. Help us to choose integrity over image every time. Help us to take your hand so that you can lead us to higher ground. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.